Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Please repeat after me. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Nurallah. There are many blessings in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that if a person recites salutations, Durood-e Pak upon me with love and devotion, just 3 times during the day and 3 times during the night, it become incumbent upon the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive all the sins that he committed during the day and all the sins that he committed during the night. When it comes to Durood-e Pak, my dear Islam brothers, we need to make it part of our daily routine. And on the day of judgment, whatever blessings Allah Azza wa Jalla give you, you'll be questioned about. And one of them is obviously the wealth that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with. Now we may say that, you know, I work hard for my wealth. Yes, you do. You know, some may say, I work 7 days a week. Yes, you do. Work 12 hours a day. Yes, you do. That you did a degree and you did a doctorate and you spent 5 years studying. Okay, you did all of them things. But who give you the strength to work? Who give you the ability to perform them courses, to get them degrees, to get all them things? Allah Azza wa Jalla give you all these things. And on the day of judgment, we were questioned about what we did with our wealth. And that's something, again, that we need to think about. I see here in this UK that and some of our, mashallah, elders are here with us, that our elders, when I mean by elders, I'm not talking about our respected here elder that is here with us at the moment. I'm talking about our expected elders that came here in the 50s and the 60s. When they came here, they didn't have any education. They didn't have any financial clout, so to speak. They didn't have any resources. But alhamdulillah, they did a fantastic job. They built the centers, they built the masjids, and they did that. But we see in the last 20, 30 years, there's been a bit of a gap. And the gap is that next generation, including us and the generation after that, have done very little in comparison to them. And alhamdulillah, Dawah Islamiyah again has taken this upon them. And again, like I said earlier, we have a plan going forward to 2050, which has been developed as we speak and hopefully being finalized within the next couple of months. Of all of those areas where there are not masjids, where there are not madrasas, alhamdulillah, we are living in Manchester, Rochdale, Bury, Bolton, you know, and here you are fortunate. You probably can get in your car or you can even walk to the local masjid, the local madrasa. But there are still Muslims around the country that don't have that facility that we have. And so we need to prepare for them. They are our Muslim brothers and they are our Muslim sisters. I read a recent research report recently, and it said that by 2050, the Muslim population, which is currently 3.8 million in the UK, will rise to over 13 million in this country. So more than 4 times more Muslims, inshallah, will be in this country by 2050. But again, I read another research report, and that said that in 40 countries, mainly in Europe, that more than 12 million people will accept Islam. But in them 12 million people that will accept Islam, there will also be 9.6 million predicted that will leave Islam. And that trend of people leaving Islam is starting right now. You know, I'm hearing of stories of where brothers and sisters are leaving our faith. And I want to share a few facts that I had. Well, not facts, just my own research that I basically did. Last year, I went to Canada. And we're sitting with some brothers, like we're sitting here now. And I said to them that, you know, if you were to live in Pakistan or India, what is the chance that you'll die with Iman? And they said, well, Allah knows best, but with the current situation, 90-95% chance that we would die with Iman. I said, okay, but you're living in Canada. Now what is the chance that you'll die with Iman? And they said, okay, well, it's obviously worse here, 75%, 80%. I said, okay, what about your grandchildren? Your grandchildren in Pakistan or India, what is the chance that they would die with Iman? And they said, well, obviously things are getting bad all around the world, but we still believe that in Pakistan or India, 80% our children, our grandchildren will die with Iman. I then asked the question about Canada. I said, what is the chance that you believe that your grandchildren will die with Iman in Canada? And you know, whenever I've mentioned this incident several times, but whenever I come to this part of the incident, I can see that brother's face in front of me. So I kind of like, I come a little bit hard to explain my feelings at this moment. He said to me, 5%. He said to me that I believe there's a 5% chance that our grandchildren will die with Iman. And I was in Derby a couple of weeks ago, and I posed the question in a masjid, in a Sunni masjid over there, to the people that were in that masjid. I said, what do you think are the chances that our grandchildren will die with Iman? Allah knows best. But they said, because we have many masjids in Derby, but still the situation is getting bad, 30-35%. In America today, there are reports that say that every person that is born as a Muslim, 25% of them, when they grow up, they will not identify with Islam. In France, there are reports that says that every Muslim that grows up, 30% of them will not identify as being Muslim. There are no such reports or research at the moment with regards to the UK, but if this is what's happening in America, this is what's happening in France, then surely it's happening here as well. And then people that are leaving Islam, there are Muslim brothers, there are sisters. Now, they're not only our Muslim brothers and sisters in Iman, they could actually be our physical, you know, blood brothers and blood sisters, our children, our grandchildren. So again, it's something that we need to be worried about. We should be concerned about this. Like I said, you came here to earn money. You came here for a better life. But all of those people that came here to earn money, that came here for a better life, it could come at a cost. And that cost could be your future generations. So we need to work together. We need to come together. And we need to do the best that we can. Because, I mean, I'm just talking about this issue of people leaving Islam, but the atheism issue that's going around. I have videos and books and pictures on my phone that tell me what I've been taught to 7-year-olds and what I've been taught to 9-year-olds. Not just here in the UK. I've got books from Spain. I've got books from France. I've got books from Australia. I've got books from Pakistan. What you need to do is you need to work together to protect your iman of not only yourself and future generations. And the Grand Ashura, he gives a beautiful example. He said that, you know, that we need to be the motorway builders of the ummah of the future. And when you travel on the motorway, I came down the 66. And I remember that when we were traveling, I was doing 70 miles an hour. But that motorway, when it was built, 70 miles of motorway were not built in an hour. 1 mile of motorway might have taken 70 days, might have taken a year even. But then people, they built the motorway then, it took them a lot longer so that we can travel easier now. This generation of Muslims needs to take it upon themselves to put those things in place with the knowledge of the fact that these diseases are out there, these problems are out there, to protect the iman of future generations. It is not an easy time. It is not an easy time for us to do these things. It is not an easy time to plan these things. It is not an easy time to invest in these things. But if we do not do it, what are the chances that future generations will be able to protect their iman? I was in London last night, and there, alhamdulillah, Dawud Islam has bought a building for £5 million in Wembley, in London. Now, they owe a lot of that money. They owe a lot of that money. And I know the brother that he bought the building, the Negran down there, he bought it, I think, 8 or 9 months ago. If you were to see him 12 months ago, he had a completely black beard. You go and see him now, and he's probably got more white hairs than me. These last 12 months have aged him. This last 12 months have aged him. But he said to me, brother, that if I don't do it now, that £5 million building will be £10 million next year, and so on and so on. We have to take that pain on now. And similarly here, the brothers in Manchester, they've recently, many of you know, they bought a building for £1 million. A huge ask, a huge task. And they still owe money on that building as well. And they are worrying about this. And I know some of the brothers, our Afsal Bhai here, he is having sleepless nights over this. About getting the building up to a functional position, paying off the people that we owe money on, the loans and all these sort of things. It is not an easy task. But he's not doing it for his personal gain. He's not going to have a business portfolio that he can go to the bank and say, look, I've got 6 properties, you know, give me a mortgage or give me a loan so I can have a big house. No, we're all doing this purely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that's something that we need to understand. As Muslims, we need to understand that why have we been created? You know, 2 years ago in this country, Queen passed away. And when the Queen passed away, the son became the king. Yeah? And it was in the newspapers that he waited 70 years to fulfill his role. Why? Because he was born to be the king. He could have become the king at 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. But he waited 70 years to fulfill his role because he was born to be a king. He could have died before his mother had died. But in the papers, it said he was born to be a king. As Muslims, what are we born to be? What are we born to be? We're not born to be kings. We're born to die. And in the same way that that person could have become the king at 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 and fulfilled his role, so to speak, the angel of death could visit us at 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 or even more. Whatever it is, we don't know. So we need to prepare for that and plan for that. And this life is so short. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he put his finger, he said, if you were to put your finger in the ocean, take your finger out, look at your finger, the water that is on your finger, that is the dunya. That is the dunya. The water that is in the ocean, that is the akhirat. Next time, if you get the opportunity to go to a river or go to the sea, do that. And then look at your finger. And you'll see within 3, 4, 5 minutes, your finger will dry up. And when your finger dries up, look back at the ocean. We're running after this. We're running after this that dries up, where the ocean never dries. So again, these are the opportunities that we need to think to, and we need to avail these opportunities. And Dawah Islam is here to give us them opportunities. Give us an opportunity to improve our hereafter. Give us an opportunity to earn them good deeds. In the same way as individuals, we act like business and we're always looking on the net. Oh, I can buy this car. I can make £200 on this car. I can do this and I can make some more money. We're looking for good opportunities. We're looking for ways to make more money. But in the same way as Muslims, we should also be looking for ways to perform more good deeds. We were blessed with the night of Shab-e Barat, the night in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that more people on this night are forgiven than the hair on the sheep of the tribe of Bani Kalb. It was an example to us that this is the night of forgiveness. This is the night to seek forgiveness. But how many of us in knowledge of that night knew that that night was there? Knew what the scholars have told us? Imam Sahib has told us about this night so many times. How many of us went to the masjid that night and worshipped Allah? How many of us stayed up on that night and sought forgiveness on that night? But if this here was a radio system, you know, a lot of masjids have radio systems in them. If this was a radio system and I made an announcement now and all of Manchester could hear me, and I would say to the people that, look, anybody who comes to the masjid tonight, we go to Imam Sahib's masjid, I stay there, and I say, whoever comes to that masjid tonight with proof of their debts, Imam Sahib, proof of their debts, I'll write them a check to pay off the debts. There'll be a line all the way to Liverpool, there'll be a line all the way to Bradford, people will be queuing up. You're thinking that maybe this madman that's in the masjid, he might write me a check and maybe my debts will be paid off. There's a chance that the check might bounce, but just maybe this man's crazy and maybe my debt will be written off. So you listen to the opportunity of a madman possibly being in the masjid to write off your debt. But when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying to you, look, this is the time to write off, to clean your book of deeds, to seek that repentance, where were we? In the same way, the month of Ramadan, the blessed month of Ramadan, in which we are told that every nafal act is equivalent to a fard, and fard act is 70 times more. You know, when you're working in a factory and the boss says to you, look, anybody want to work double time on bank holiday? Well, I'll work it. I'll put my name down. Triple time, you'll push people to the back of the queue to get your name there. You'll push people to the back of the queue to get your name to make 3 times more money. But when we are told that this month you can earn 70 times more, then again, what happens? We ignore it. We ignore it. We forget about it. And in this month, it is a special night. And if I was to use a money example to you, that I was to say to you, look, I pay you £20 an hour. Do as many hours as you want in the month of Ramadan. £20 an hour. But there's one night. And on that night, I'm not going to pay you 20. I'm not going to pay you 200. I'm not going to pay you 2,000. I will pay you £250,000 an hour for every hour that you work. But there's a catch. I'm not going to tell you which night it is. I'm not going to tell you which night it is. Okay, I'll give you a clue, it's in the last 10 nights. Okay, I'll give you a clue, it's in the last odd nights. Now you tell me, would you not work on every odd night in the last 10 days? Would you take the risk of, well, maybe it's not tonight, I'll do it tomorrow. Would you take that risk? No, you wouldn't. But here Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us that there is a night in the month of Ramadan that Allah Azza wa Jalla, not me, Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling you that the reward is greater than 1,000 months. Get your calculators out. 83 years. You can earn on that night what you can't earn in 83 years. Because it's not just 83s, it's more. Allah Azza wa Jalla says more than this. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla wills. But again, negligence. We don't think about it. Our minds revolve around that pound sign. I may look like a Muslim. I may dress like a Muslim. I may eat like a Muslim. But do I think like a Muslim? Unfortunately, I don't. Because I think of ways to improve myself financially. Ways to improve my bank balance, ways to make that koti back home, ways to get all them things, but we don't think about the akhirat, which is what we should be thinking about. Because that angel of death, brothers, is going to come to you. You can deny it. I was reading a book once recently, and the scholar said that he was next to the grave, someone was being buried, and he said to the person next to him, that if this person could get up from the grave now, what do you think he would say to you? Next time you go to the graveyard, ask yourself that all of these people that are in the graveyard now, if they could get up and speak to you for 1 minute, what would they say to you? Think to yourself, what would they say to you? They say, don't worry about it, bro. Chill. Enjoy yourself. Carry on doing what you're doing. Don't worry about anything. Nothing's going to happen. Do you think they would say that? No, they wouldn't. And you know what they would say to you. They would say to you, look, don't waste this time. Utilize this time. Don't think about that money. Don't think about all these. Think about the fact that you're going to be here. These are the things that we need to focus upon and think about. Nobody here. Maybe there are professional people here. Maybe there are doctors here. The scholars are here. The scholars are here. The scholar could not give me a certificate and say, brother, you will live till that night. He cannot give me that. Nobody can give me a certificate and say, you will see the month of Ramadan. What is the chance that you'll see next Ramadan? There is no guarantees. This month of Ramadan, there are many youngsters here that I'm looking around, young people that go to the gym or they perform some sort of sport. They lift weights, they run, they do sort of things. And what happens in life when you go to the gym, you're lifting weights and you lift 20 kilos. Then you want to lift 25 kilos and you try to improve yourself. And everybody has a personal best. They run a 6 minute mile, then they want to run a 5.5 minute mile. They want to run a 5 minute mile. They lift 20 kilos, they want to lift 25 kilos. They make a personal best. I request you all, please, make Ramadan your personal best. Look at your life. Whatever Ramadan Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed you with, whatever Ramadan you've had, ask yourself, what was the best Ramadan you had? That Ramadan I read one Quran. That Ramadan I did this. That Ramadan I did this. A wise person said to me once, read your namaz as if it's your last namaz. Do your dua as if it's your last dua. Because one day it will be your last salah. One day it will be your last dua. Brother's life is too short. We're running around in this dunya. Shaitan is enticing us, showing us this life of glitter and not realizing that the akhirat is the real life. We're running after that water on the finger when we should be running after the ocean. And these are the guarantees. It's not me saying these things. I'm not saying these things. You can say, brother, I don't believe you. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us these things. Allah azza wa jalla is telling you these things. But again, we have this negligence. Another thing I want to mention before we finish. Alhamdulillah, during the month of Ramadan, a lot of people read the Quran. And it's a fantastic thing. Alhamdulillah, it's beautiful. That people make themselves a target, one Quran, two Qurans, three Qurans. But one thing I want to leave you with. The Quran is not a book for the month of Ramadan. Many people, they'll read the book in the month of Ramadan, one time, two times, three times, maybe even more. And at the end of Ramadan, on the shelf, and it stays there. It stays there then for the full year. The Quran is not just for Ramadan. The Quran should be part of our lives on a daily basis. Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawah Islam, encourages us to read at least three ayats of the Quran every day with translation and commentary. Just three ayats, not a big ask. And anybody that understands a little bit of science here will know that the geologists, these people that study rocks, they will say to you that when water drops on a rock, and it keeps on dropping on the rock, top, that water can make a hole in that rock. It can change the formation of that rock. Just think what three ayats can do to our heart. Every day, falling on our heart. Top. We need to make that part of our routine. So please, for the sake of your soft souls, make a change in your life. Make a change in your life. I used to say in many speeches that we only have 3 days in our life. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow might not come. Today's the day to make a change. But I remember reading Imam Ghazali, and he said that, no, you only have 3 breaths in your life. The breath that has gone, the breath has got to come, and the breath that you have now. If you want to go make a change now. And this is what we need to be worried. We need to make that change now, not tomorrow, not the day after. I remember last year, just before Shab-e Barat, we were sitting with some brothers in a masjid. And the brother said to me, brother, let Ramadan come. When the first day of Ramadan comes, inshallah, I will read my namaz 5 times a day. And the brother said, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. I said, why are you saying Subhanallah? They said, because he's saying he's going to read his namaz 5 times a day. I said, no, he's not. He's saying that from now to the month of Ramadan, he's not going to read his namaz. From now to the month of Ramadan, he's not going to read his namaz. So we need to make intentions now. Act upon them intentions now. Don't wait for Ramadan. You may say, okay, in Ramadan, I'm going to start reading the Quran. In Ramadan, I'm going to start reading my salah. You need to start reading your salah now. Right now. Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawah Islami, he makes this announcement on Madri channel. Shaitan ke khilaf jang. The war against Shaitan will continue. What is this war? This war is not, I give you all a baseball bat and we go and cheat the middle road. This is not the war. The war for all of us today is Salatul Isha. The war for all of us tomorrow is Salatul Fajr. I can give you the times. I haven't got the masjid timetable here. I can give you the times of the battles. Fajr, Zohr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. These are your times of your battles. And tomorrow morning when you get up, because tomorrow is not Ramadan. When you get up,
and you're having your conflicts and you're having your toast and you're having your paratha, whatever you're having, ask yourself, who won the battle today? Was it me or was it Shaitan? Did Shaitan win the battle this morning or did I win the battle this morning? My dear Islam brothers, we need to make this change in our life before it's too late. And Dawah Islam is here to help you make that change. In the form of the brother mentioned the Madri Kafas, and on the Madri Kafas you go there. You go there to learn about the deen, you learn about the Quran, you learn about your wuzu, your namaz and all of these things. Your namaz is corrected, your wuzu is corrected, and all of these things are corrected. And you may say, well brother, I was with Imam Sahib. Imam Sahib taught me 25 years ago. He taught me how to read my namaz. Why do I need to learn it again? Why do I need to learn my wuzu again? You know, when you buy a brand new car, a 60,000 pound car, why do you service it every 12 months? To make sure it's right. And then what happens is you tell people, my car's got service history. Not only has it got service history, it's got dealer service history. You're proud of the fact that I got my car serviced from a dealer. You service your car every 12 months. When was the last time you serviced your salah? When was the last time you serviced your wuzu? When was the last time you serviced your Quran? And if you service it, rather than getting a proper dealer history, you go on Sheikh Google and get him to service it for you. Go and sit with the scholars. Ask them, Ustazab, look, this is my wuzu, is it right? This is my salah, is it right? What is wrong with this? Alhamdulillah, one of the things I think mentioned is Madrasatul Madina Balighan. Balighan classes are not, we have the traditional classes for the students, for the children, but Balighan classes are there for adults. Where you can come for 40 minutes, just for 40 minutes, attend a class, and the brothers will rectify your Quran. Come to Dawah Islam and service your Quran. Come to Dawah Islam and service your salah. Come to Dawah Islam and service your iman. Iman is the greatest gift that you have got. But we're not afraid of losing it. When I came here today, my car's parked to the front. The first thing I did when I got out, I locked my car. I locked my car. I locked my house. I locked everything. What locks do we put on our iman? What do we do to safeguard our iman? Are we aware of the tricks of shaitan that can take your iman away from you? Are you aware that at that crucial moment in your life, shaitan will do everything to take your iman away from you? We need to learn these things, educate ourselves. You know how to get child benefit, you know how to get income support, you know how to do all these things, but you don't know how to protect your iman. You know how to get visa, you know how to get indefinite stay, you know how to get all these things, but you don't know how to protect your iman. Is this the way we are going? Brothers, maybe some of my words may feel harsh, but I'm just telling you for your own sake, think about it. Think about it. Your life is short. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal, that may Allah accept whatever I said, and if I've made any mistakes, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me and give me the ability to rectify myself. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was going up the minbar, he said Ameen. He said Ameen three times, but on one of the Ameens, he was asked, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? And he said that Sayyidina Jibreel Islam came to me and said, warn to him, may that person be ruined who the month of Ramadan comes and the month of Ramadan goes and he fails to get his sins forgiven. The pious people of the past, after the month of Ramadan, they would do dua, Ya Allah, accept our good deeds. Ya Allah, accept my good deeds. Nowadays, we think, oh, I've got a certificate. I read the Quran. I did Taraweeh for 29 days. I did Taraweeh for 30 days. I'm sorted. How do you know it's been accepted? You can ask people in this room. When we, you know, tell me about your good deeds. They say, oh, I did Hajj in 1982. I did Umrah in 85. I did this in 92. I did this in 2006. I did this in 2010. They'll remember all those things. If you ask that same person, tell me the sins that you committed today. They remember all those things. And we don't even know them have been accepted. You do not know whether your good deeds have been accepted. What about the sins that you committed today? These are the things that we need to reflect on. And what happens is we push the dirt under the carpet. We forget about it. Dikhi jayegi. We'll worry about it later. We'll worry about it later. Later doesn't come. So again, when we make mistakes in our life, repent. Repent straight away. The pious people have said that when you commit a sin, it's like you're putting a seed in the ground. And when you put a seed in the ground, it's easy to take the seed out. But the longer you leave it there, that seed starts to grow. That seed starts to spread. It gets the roots there, then try pulling it out. It's hard to do. And that's what happens with us. When we commit a sin, you have that guilt. You want to repent, but Shaitan says, don't worry about it. You'll do it later. We'll go to the masjid tonight and we'll repent then. And then when you go to the masjid, you're with friends and you forget about it. And then you think, well, nothing's happened. It's okay. And you don't repent. And this is again the trick of Shaitan. My dear Islam brothers, there's so much I could say to you. But all I want to say to you is that this is the month that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us. This is a gift to the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't waste this gift, because we might not get this gift again. We might not get this gift again. You all know people that passed away in these last 12 months. 12 months time, if Allah azza wa jalla blesses me with life and I'm sitting here and I say that we all know people that were with us 12 months ago, maybe they are thinking about us.
When you go to the graveyards here in the UK, there are graves that are already dug because we bury our people as soon as possible. Look at them graves. Ask yourself that this grave is dug. What is the person doing right now? Is he repenting or is he still living a life of negligence? And you know what? Maybe that grave could be for me. That grave could be for me. Many people, when they go on the Umrah and the Hajj, they get over there, they get a coffin, they wash it in Zamzam, they bring it back. And they say to the children, my coffin is ready. Your grave is ready. Your coffin is ready. Are you ready? Prepare yourself and safeguard your iman. Dawat Islam is here to try and help us to do this. Here in Manchester, we have the centers in Dickinson Road and on Blackley, Manchester Road, yeah? Rochdale Road. These are in Manchester, but outside we have in Bury, we have Rochdale, we have Oldham, we have Bolton, we have all of these places. Going further afield, in Northwest, we have Blackburn, Accrington, Preston, Burnley. In Yorkshire, we have Bradford, Sheffield, Rotherham, and all these places. And I can take you on a guided tour up and down the country where Dawah Islami has bought places that were places of worship of other faiths, of non-believers. Churches, we bought synagogues, we bought Masonic halls, we bought pubs, and now they are places of worship. Those people that have been part of that task, that have invested their money in them houses of Allah, in those masjids, in those madrasas, they will be inshallah rewarded on the Day of Judgment. So we should be looking for opportunities. And I believe Afzal Bhai here with the building that they purchased in on Rochdale Road, this is an opportunity for us. This is an opportunity for us to invest. Not in this dunya, invest in the akhirah. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah give me and you the ability to think about what I've said, to act upon what I've said, and to pass this message on to others as well. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.
Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Said, Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Said.